living in urgent times, if you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is November 10th, 2025, the feast of St. Leo the Great, Pope and Doctor of the Church, a very special day. And I hope you are having a special day here in Philadelphia and our other markets. It was raining this morning. The sun is starting to peek through the clouds right now. And I hear that it's going to be really cold tonight and starting tomorrow. So get out your winter coats, my friends. We're going from nice weather to cold weather. And I guess I'll have to pull out my flowers that are still blooming around my house. But it's supposed to be very, very cold in the morning. But let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is from The Word Among Us, a beautiful pamphlet put out in our church. It's a meditation for today, and I love this, and I wanted to share it with you. Where can I go from your spirit? From your presence, where can I flee? That's Psalm 139, verse 7. Lord, you've been with me through all my best days and my worst days, and even when I feel most alone, you're still with me, offering me your unfailing help. Lord, I can't begin to comprehend your greatness. All I can do is stop and ponder, speechless with wonder and awe. Lord, thank you for your amazing, ever-present love. Heavenly Father, we offer up this program for all those who are listening and all those who wanted to listen. We pray, Lord Jesus, for peace in the world, for every section of our globe. We pray for peace, that there will be unity of heart and compassion and prayer, all the ends of the earth. And Father God, we pray for healing for all those who are listening, physical, emotional, and spiritual healing for all those who are listening who may feel hopeless today. We pray that through this program, this radio network, you will experience a sense of joy and hope in your life. And we empower, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we spread our lovely eyes out to you, Lord Jesus, to the foot of the cross, and ask that you look down upon us and all our hurts and pains today, and help us to focus solely on you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So, my friends, what is the topic today? Well, are you ready for this? I want what I want when I want it. Now, doesn't this sound like a two-year-old? I'm going to say it again. I want what I want when I want it. And boy, oh boy, that's a temper tantrum, isn't it, from a two-year-old? Does this sound familiar to you? So what exactly will I be talking about today? We're going to be talking about gluttony. It hasn't been talked about. We've talked about pride. We've talked about other things, but we have not talked about gluttony. And it's truly a misunderstood word. About 6 weeks ago, someone mentioned to me about overeating in the middle of the night and all through the night because the Eagles had lost. I don't know how many weeks ago it was. And he called me and said, is this a sin? Because I was so upset about the Eagles losing that time. I ate all night long. And I'm like, I'm not a priest. And I'm not going to judge you, but you need to watch what you're doing for your own health. And what was the purpose of your eating? To stuff your feelings of anger? Were you mad? What was the deal? So today while praying, again, I had another topic, and the Lord led me into this topic, strangely enough. So I know that we have to have listeners today who need to hear about physical gluttony and spiritual gluttony. So stay with me because we have a powerful program lined up for you. Now, the Lord says, I will give you all that you need, but not all that you desire. There's quite a difference, my friends, between what we need and what we desire, isn't there? Now, St. Thomas Aquinas defines gluttony as an inordinate desire in eating and drinking. One of the ways gluttony manifests itself is in taking more than is necessary. Now, that's what this person who called me after the Eagles lost the next day and said he ate all night long. He ate all night long. And was this a sin? So one of the ways gluttony manifests itself is in taking more than is necessary. And by the way, we do hope the Eagles win tonight, so this person will not be eating all night long. Now, the key word here, excuse me, is necessary. Now, Saint Isidore said, a gluttonous person is excessive in what, when, how, and how much he or she eats and drinks. Again, we're talking about excessive, more than is necessary, more than we need. It's interesting, isn't it, to really examine ourselves. And I want all of you who are listening to do this. Am I taking more than what is necessary? This will make us stop and be more aware of the presence of God and more aware of what we're doing. How many times do we just eat or drink out of habit and we aren't even aware until the meal is over? And we say, oh my goodness, I'm just stuffed. Now, how many of us say that during Thanksgiving? And that's coming up. So that's probably why the Lord wanted this topic today. Then we realize, I wasn't even aware of what I was doing or eating. So the gift of awareness is important here if we're going to be aware of what is necessary. Now, another way gluttony can manifest itself is eating or drinking when it's the wrong time. It's not meal time, or it may be a time when you're not even hungry. And then there's that unredeemed self saying, I want what I want when I want it. Now, gluttony can demand perfectly prepared foods. And we can see this in restaurants, can't we? When something was ordered and it isn't prepared exactly the way it was ordered, we can see a tremendous overreaction in people, sometimes in anger or rudeness at the poor waiter or waitress. Now, watch this. If that comes forth within ourselves, so if you're listening and you're saying, oh, I just did that. We're into an attachment that can be very demanding. Gluttony wants expensive foods and wine. It will attach a great deal of importance to the quality of food or wine or drink and will not be satisfied with what is common. Feeling negative about the food placed in front of us or complaining about it are little signs that, I'm tapping into this sin of gluttony. Now, gluttony is more than simply overeating. Now, this is where I think we all need to be catechized, including myself. Gluttony is more than overeating, my friends. It really is an abuse of God's gifts. Now, we all know that food is necessary for good health and wholeness, but this sin is an abuse of God's gift to us. In the parable of Lazarus, if you remember, and the rich man ate and drank and had his banquet all the time. And when he died, he was just parched, begging for food, begging for drink, but he couldn't be reached. He was on the other side. This is a pretty high penalty for someone who was excessive, isn't it? Now, Lazarus, who was the beggar at that time, now was at the banquet. Now, God looks at this very seriously, if you're listening. So gluttony is not only being excessive in what we eat and drink, but it's not sharing with those who don't have. I think this is what brought this severe judgment on the rich man. We have to be careful that we stay out of the spirit of the world. We live in a world that puts a great deal of emphasis on food. Now, the world uses the term diet. The church uses the term fasting. Now, both have a discipline, don't they? But the motives are quite different as a rule. Now, dieting is usually for myself, while fasting is for God. Our motives make all the difference in the world. So once again, it goes back to a person's motive, their attitude, what they're doing it for or whom they're doing it for. And we can see why we can never judge another person, ever, ever, ever. We really don't know, but we need to know ourselves so we can know what our motive is. Am I doing this for God or am I doing this for myself? Our excessive concern for our bodies can make it a sin of self-love and self-indulgence. Now, gluttony will lead us to addictions as well. We all know the addiction of alcoholism. It will lead to addictions. It will lead us to anything so that the emptiness can be filled. So one of the basic roots of gluttony is an unconscious self-image of emptiness. Now, it may be a conscious image for some, but often it's an unconscious self-image. And we start feeling that emptiness with food. We're feeding our stomachs with food, trying to get rid of the emptiness, just like the young man who called me and said, the Eagles lost, and so I stuffed my face all night long. I once read an article entitled, What's Eating You? If we start overeating or overindulging, usually something's eating at us. Now, it could be loneliness, depression, extreme stress, anxiety, or frustration. Now, am I hitting the nail on the head today? There are a lot of ways to be empty. There are a lot of ways to feel empty. And as we pray, the Lord will reveal to us, that's you, these empty areas within us, and will show us how we're trying to feed this emptiness. Now, we live in a culture where a great deal of emphasis is on the body. Now, I think this is a sign of the culture of death that our Holy Father is talking about, and past popes as well. It's interesting that when we forget to take care of our spiritual lives and our souls, then somehow we start to take better care of our bodies. We shift the focus more to the physical. When the body starts becoming overly important, usually it's the soul that's suffering. In the United States, there are more athletic clubs than retreat houses now. Did you know that? There aren't many retreat houses left. There are more athletic clubs than retreat houses. And we live in a nation that's putting a great deal of emphasis on exercising. Now, exercise is very good, of course. Sometimes we've lost the balance of the spiritual exercising, the spiritual exercises that our souls need. We are not saying exercising isn't good, because it is, but God wants us to be in balance, perfect balance. We need both. We need physical food, but we also need spiritual food. Now, it's interesting that Jesus began his public ministry by fasting. Did you know that? He started his public ministry by fasting. He had already come out of the life of poverty, simplicity, hiddenness, silence, and solitude. He was extremely disciplined. And yet he began his public life doing what? Fasting. We would think he would be well prepared to go to that wedding feast at Cana, wouldn't we? But he went into the desert instead on a 40-day fast. So he's trying to show us something of the tremendous tension between the spirit world and the flesh. There's always that dichotomy and struggle. Jesus tells us to do not worry about our livelihood, what we're to eat or drink or use for clothing. He tells us life is more than food and the body is more available than clothes. We're not to worry about our life or what we'll eat. That's from Matthew 6:25. Well, we do, don't we? I do. Of course. Sometimes we worry about what we eat or what we don't eat. It's interesting to see where our thoughts really are. And when we fast for 2 or 3 days, we will see something happening in our bodies. It will start to release poisons, and we'll start to get energy. We'll start to feel wonderful. We don't quite have that experience in a one-day fast, but in a 2 or 3 day fast, or a fast like Jesus did, our whole bodies will change if we're fasting correctly. Now, Jesus was fasting from food, but he wasn't fasting from prayer. He was not fasting from God's love. The Lord showed us that what happens physically in the individual body during a fast can happen. It can happen throughout the whole mystical body as well. We can fast even just a few people representing the mystical body. And as poisons are released from our bodies, we can actually release Satan from the mystical body. Fasting has a tremendous mystical power. Now, many, maybe 10 to 15 years ago, a very famous French author, Father René Laurentin, who's written many of the books on Mariology and Medjugorje, he told me, "Hey, Ann, you're not, maybe it was 20 years ago, you're not going to be able to reach me. I go into the mountains and I fast for 20 days. Now, this was a tall, frail man. And I'm thinking, what? He goes into the mountains and he fasts for a whole month? And it comes out, and that's when he would write his books and he would do his speaking engagements. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is a modern day saint. And if you look up some of his writings in his books, Father René, R-E-N-E, and his Laurentin, L-A-U-R-E-N-T-I-N, he was in France, he fasted a month a summer throughout his whole life. Well, his priestly life, he fasted. And his books were the fruits of this fasting. Now, as a diabetic, I can't fast. I can tell you now that I cannot fast. It's dangerous. And there are many of you who are listening who are saying, I can't fast. I'm diabetic or I have an illness. You have to check with your doctor. It's not something you say, I'm going to fast tomorrow. Now, I may fast from television or radio or doing something that I like instead of food because I can't as a diabetic. But you could ask your doctor. But if you're truly healthy, maybe you want to try. We know Our Lady has said on Wednesdays and Fridays, bread and water. And during Lent, and by the way, the Friday Lenten fast is for the whole year. We're not supposed to eat meat on Fridays, but it somehow got lost. And if you can, fast on Fridays from meat. That's a beautiful fast that we think is only for Lent. But that really was never abandoned, and you may want to check that out. Well, Jesus also lets us know that fasting has even a greater power when it's done only for God to see and not anyone else. But oftentimes, that can make it more difficult, can it? We need to cultivate the spiritual hunger and thirst if we do not have it. Why don't I have a hunger and thirst for prayer? Or for mass, or for scripture? I want you to ask yourself that. Do you have a hunger and thirst for prayer, mass, or the sacred scriptures? And why don't I have a hunger and thirst for good, solid, spiritual reading, or to hear about Jesus, or to talk about him? Now, these are little signs, my friends, that can tell us if you're spiritually well. If you don't have any hunger for any of the above, you're in a spiritual drought. And we're going to try to pour some water into your well today to make sure that you understand that Jesus is calling you to a deeper relationship with him. Satan tempts us through food. Did you know that? It's very interesting that the first sin in the garden had to do with food. Eve was tempted. Scripture tells us that. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom. That's from Genesis 3:6. The temptation worked, didn't it? It's not a parable. The temptation worked. It was a powerful temptation. Satan tried it again with Jesus. Now, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert after having fasted for 40 days. Now, Jesus was hungry by now, and temptations come, by the way, when we're hungry and when we're empty and we're feeling empty. That's when temptations come. And so the temptations come. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread. You remember that from the scriptures? Matthew 4, verse 3. The temptation came through food, and Jesus did not fall. Jesus said, doing the will of him who sent me and bringing his word to completion is my food. John 4, verse 34. So the bottom line, my friends, is this. Gluttony is going to be an attachment to my present life. It's that need that you have right now, for whatever reason, it's going to feed you. Jesus said, reform your lives, from Matthew 4, 17. Today, I hear it as I've never heard it before. I heard it so, reshape your life, Joan, Joe, Mark, Fred, Frank. Reshape your life. Change things. You have to do it. Use your own free will. He's not going to come down with a hammer and hit your head. Use your own free will. You need to make some choices today. You need to make some choices. Reform your lives. Reform your lives. We have to make some changes today. Tonight. Now, spiritual gluttony is something we can be guilty of day after day without even realizing it. Now, I thought that this would be very powerful to hear today about spiritual gluttony. We're all guilty of this at some point. It is loving God more than what he can give us, consolations and experiences, than for himself. We especially find this in beginners. Now, beginners means new, baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're a new Christian. You really haven't been catechized or formed correctly. So you may be a beginner listening today. So in newly baptized converts and in people newly baptized in the Holy Spirit, we find those who are looking for consolation and experiences all the time. And trust me, I went through that 40-some years ago. Beginners have a tendency to go into prayer for what they can get out of it. Now, again, I just had this conversation 10 days ago with a family member. He said, I don't know where the Lord is. I'm praying and praying and praying and praying. And I said, look, prayer isn't a vending machine where you put the quarter in and whoops, I get the answer to prayer right away because I put the quarter in, my prayer. A lot of us and a lot of younger generations in prayer is like that. I pray and pray and pray, and nothing happens. I put the quarter in the vending machine of spirituality, and it didn't work. Well, my friend, God is looking for a relationship with us. It's in the early stages of our spiritual life, we can be much more interested in what we're going to get than who is going to give it to us. Again, I had this conversation. I have it over and over again, especially with young people. They think, okay, she taught us and told us to pray, and I prayed and nothing happened. Well, again, prayer is not a vending machine. I think I should write a book called Prayer is Not a Vending Machine. What do you think? Now, it's easy to do this because God baits us with consolation. And so we get used to those consolations, don't we? Because that's what our prayer is. Consolations are God's gifts. And just like a little child, we can become more interested in what we're going to receive than what we're going to give. It becomes more about the consolations and experiences than about God. It's about what we're going to receive. It's a mentality of keeping it all to ourselves, isn't it? Does this sound familiar? If we stay here and don't move on into deeper spiritual maturity, then we can move into spiritual gluttony. Yes, that's spiritual gluttony. You know, yesterday I was driving to a local, I think it was yesterday or this weekend, to a local fruit stand and produce stand. And I was thinking of someone, you know, that had just drilled a well about 324 feet. Now, usually the wells in that area would be about 64 feet. And I remember him saying, I had to drill 324 feet before they hit water. And it just, it was a zap across my head. It was, man, that's spirituality. We've got to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper until we hit payload, which is Jesus Christ. Now, many of us don't want to go that deep. It's too painful. The suffering is too hard. That's what really hit me, going to a produce place, about that well, about this guy having to go 324 feet instead of 66 feet, and how that was painful. And the Lord showed me, we all have to go deeper in seeking our relationship with him. It's not going to be a shallow well. We've got to go deep. And that's why he led me to talk to you today about gluttony and spiritual gluttony. It's a mentality of keeping it all to ourselves, isn't it? If we stay here where we're at today, that shallow well, and we don't move on to a deeper spiritual maturity, then we can move into spiritual gluttony. That's what I'm going to talk about now. That's so serious. And we need to hear this message. This is exactly what the bad guy wants. He can enter into our spiritual lives when he sees we're always seeking that spiritual high. Oh, I'm so low. We're always looking to that spiritual high, that experience of God doing something for me. Now, the bad guy's watching for that because he knows that we won't grow if he can keep us there spiritually. If he can introduce spiritual gluttony into our lives, he'll keep us there. And so that we won't grow in our faith or our belief that God is with us and loves us, no matter how bad our suffering is. He is with us, and he will not abandon us. So we have to be careful, my friends. We have seen this pattern over and over again. The bad guy attacks our flesh. He can't attack God directly, but he will attack God in our flesh. If he can become, the flesh is weak. Now, I want you to think, is your flesh weak today? Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The bad guy hates flesh. He hates the whole incarnation. And so he attacks our flesh. He will encourage us to seek spiritual highs because, boy, oh boy, doesn't it sound good? It's spiritual after all. It may be wonderful to want these experiences and consolation. And trust me, it is wonderful. But really, it's deadly. It's deadly. Spiritual gluttony has roots of selfishness and self-centeredness. It's focused on what you can get out of this prayer experience and what you're going to get out of the relationship. This can happen even at Holy Communion. We can be more interested in what the Lord is going to say to us or how we're going to feel or what grace we're going to receive rather than being focused on, oh, this is God. This is the gift himself. When God begins to see us going this way, then the Holy Spirit will lead us into one of the dark nights of the soul and the spirit for our own good, to strip us of the excess, our gimme, gimme, gimme complex. Now, we know that, you know, the entitled person. We may be the entitled person, the gimme, gimme complex, so we can grow in maturity. God can take away the consolations in one split second. All of a sudden, we'll have a distaste for something we really enjoyed spiritually. We fight the dark night because it will start to strip us of all satisfaction that we've been living on. It's hard to switch gears, isn't it? It's really hard to switch gears, especially if you're listening, you're like, oh, I never thought of this. Never thought of this. After the break, we'll come back and we have so much more to share, so stay tuned.
I will be done.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, heard every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm so happy to be with you today. But I wanted to give you a little commercial. Kathleen will be giving a retreat at Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania, just down the road from Villanova University, called Ad Lumina Christi, November 17th to the 21st. You come in the afternoon on a Monday evening for dinner, and the retreat starts that evening, and it ends Friday morning right after breakfast, so and before lunch. It's a powerful retreat. Now, the Family Life Center, which is the really the stellar retreat house on the grounds, is sold out, but they have opened one of their other buildings called Corrigan Hall. If you are interested, I would highly recommend, it's for men and women, by the way, men and women, and it's $325 for the week. That includes the retreat and all your meals and your towels and everything else, so you don't want to miss it. Get a pen. I'm going to give you a phone number. It's 610-644-0400. It's 610-644-0400. It's called Ad Lumina Christi Retreat, November 17th to the 21st at Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania. The only hall that's open right now is Corrigan Hall, so you have a single bedroom, but the restrooms are at the end of the hall. Men and women will be on different floors, of course, and then you'll walk down to the Family Life Center, which is gorgeous, to the chapel for the talks and adoration. So the food is terrific. The retreat director is terrific. And also Father Dermot Roche will be there for the week. So this is, if you need to get away and you're always saying, I need to get away, I need to get away, this is the retreat for you. I would love to go, but my husband's having surgery next week. Otherwise, I would try to go out there, but it's an important week. And I thank you for all that you've done for this radio network. And again, I'm plugging this. Kathleen never asked me to do this, but it's coming to the end of the year, and you may need a write-off. And listen, it's a 501c3 tax-deductible write-off if you write a check or money order, no cash, to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. And also to include in your will if you're saying, I really would like to do something charitable, and I want you to think about In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. If you call during the day to Maureen, not right now, but during the day to the office, she'll give you more information. Again, I want you to consider it. It's going to the end of the year, and this is one wonderful network to continue on because it's so powerful, and God has a special plan and anointing. So So we thank you for all that you've done for this amazing network. So at Lumina Christi Retreat with Kathleen McCarthy and Father Dermot Roche, November 17th to the 21st, at Malvern Retreat House, it's $325 per person, in Corrigan Hall, because the Family Life Center sold out, 610-644-0400. You call Malvern directly to register. You can't register with this radio network. So do it today or do it tomorrow. Don't waste a moment, because it will be one life-changing retreat for you, and it's for men and women, by the way. So we're talking about I want what I want when I want it. Does this sound familiar to you? And what is it? And we're going into spiritual gluttony. Now, we've all heard of gluttony, eating and drinking too much, but today the Lord led me to this, spiritual gluttony, and to teach on this. Now, spiritual gluttony has fruits of selfishness and self-centeredness. Does that sound familiar? It's focused on what I can get out of my prayer experience and what I'm going to get out of this relationship. Now, this can even happen when you're receiving Holy Communion, as I said before the break. We could be more interested in what the Lord is going to say to us, or how we're going to feel, or what grace we're going to receive, rather than being focused on, oh, this is God. This is the gift himself. When God begins to see us going this way, then the Holy Spirit will lead us into one of the dark nights of the soul and spirit for our own good, to strip us of the excess, our gimme, gimme, gimme mentality, so we can grow in maturity. God can take away the consolations in one split second. All of a sudden, we'll have a distaste for something we really enjoyed spiritually. We fight the dark night because it will start to strip us of all self-satisfaction that we've been living on. And it's a habit. It's hard to switch gears, isn't it? This is where a spiritual director, if you can find one, can help us walk the walk. Because in the dark night, we can't see. It's dark. There is no one to look at. No one. We can't even see Jesus, can we, sometimes? But when we're in the dark with someone we love, we know they're there. There is a presence. So we begin at a deeper level. It's a deeper faith walk, my friends. We begin to change our focus because we're leaning more on him and what he is saying. Now, we go more on what we hear him saying than on what we are seeing. It's a different way of knowing, isn't it? This is called a faith walk, a faith walk. So it's a beautiful thing when the Holy Spirit starts stripping us of the unhealthy things that were feeding us. And this can be God stripping us of all the exterior, so we'll grow into a deeper relationship with him, not for what he can do for us, but for who he is to us. We're always, and we're conditioned to think that our spirituality is what he can do for us. But my friends, it's for what he is to us. And once we start to make the Passover into deeper spiritual maturity, the love of self will start to fade away. And we'll begin to focus more on God's love. Spiritual gluttony can harm us physically. Yes, it can. Mentally and spiritually, body, soul, and spirit, because it's shutting out God. Now think about this. Spiritual gluttony shuts out God. Spiritual dullness and sluggishness can come, tapping into the sin of sloth. Spiritual gluttony will eventually kill your fervor that we have, a desire for spiritual things, because we're focusing on ourselves and we're slipping into the world. It's very childish level of prayer that is strictly for beginners. Oh yeah, I'm going to give my life to the Lord, to everything. I'm going to be a prosperous Christian. Everything's going to be rosy and perfect. It's very childish level of prayer that you think that's big for beginners. We don't want to stay there, because in the spiritual life, we either move ahead or we regress. Now, where are you today? Are you moving ahead? Are you stuck in the mud? We can't stay too long in one place. We would regret if we stayed with our spiritual gluttony to the point where we lost our appetite for prayer and spiritual things. Eventually, it'll heal us to a total inability to pray. Now, it will lead us to a total inability to pray. That's happened to me over my 4 decades of ministry. The main problem is that I'm focusing on my needs and no one else's. And this is why intercession has such tremendous power. It does not focus on me. Now, if it does focus on me, then it's not intercession, right? Obedience is good criteria for us to know if we're falling into spiritual gluttony, to know if mystical experiences that we're having are authentic. We can look at whether or not we're little and humble and manifesting that through obedience. Our experiences probably are authentic. But as these mystical experiences start to take over, becoming God said, God told me to tell you, my friends, beware. Beware. God said, or I'm understanding this or experiencing this, and obedience kind of goes out the window, doesn't it? Particularly to those we are accountable to. It would be very questionable if it's the Lord. Now, this kind of false mysticism will lead us to judge others and put them down. How come you're not going to Mass, Susie? Every day I go to Mass. How come you're not fasting, Joe? A spiritual director can pick up right away that there's uncharitableness coming through here. Obviously, some of these experiences that may have started out as God, and they probably did, and with God, now are not God. The enemy has taken over and spiritual gluttony has set in. Now, if there is spiritual pride coupled with spiritual gluttony, it will lead us into false mysticism very quickly, because we'll be seeking one spiritual experience after another. And boy, oh boy, do I remember those days. Many false mystics go down the slippery slope of spiritual gluttony, because it leads to seeking oneself more in prayer than in seeking God. We have to be careful in our prayer lives that we're not seeking the spiritual experience, but we're seeking God. If God wants to give us an experience of himself, wow, fine. But we have to be careful not to just seek the experience. Often, my friends, the experience will come when we least expect it. Now, this is heavy-duty stuff, isn't it? We're not babies anymore. If you're listening to this Catholic Radio Network, we're not babies anymore. You're ready for the stronger steps. So we're going deeper. Remember the well I told you about earlier, the friend that I know that dug a well that's 300 and some feet, had to keep going down when he thought it would only be 66 feet, had to go down 300 and some to hit water. Well, and the Lord showed me, actually, on the way to a produce place, that's our spiritual lives. We have to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And sometimes that's in suffering. That sometimes is in suffering that we encounter him. It's not in the la-di-da-di-da, skipping down the road. And a lot of times it is, because the Lord wants us to be joyful. But a lot of times it's in the suffering. Another way to spot whether or not gluttony is activated in your life is if you have a great aversion to sacrifice, suffering, and the cross. Well, you're like, I refuse to even think about suffering and the cross. You have no desire to lay down your life, and we can turn more and more into ourselves. We have no desire to do anything for anyone else but ourselves. Spiritual gluttony will show up particularly as a lack of desire to intercede, as intercession is strictly for others, not for you. And we can lose interest very quickly because there's nothing in it for me. Now, we're taught to say that. What's in it for me? I hear that time and time again. What's in it for me if I go to church every day? or what's in it for me if I go to confession? You're trying to connect to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want everything to be for him. Now, here's another checkpoint to watch. Self-imposed penance, particularly fasting, if it is not approved by your spiritual director, or for example, it's not during Lent, or you're just doing it to gain favor, it can be very dangerous. We need to be careful if we're doing something and concealing it from a spiritual director or a prayer partner, or if we're rather forceful in convincing our spiritual director or prayer partner that we should do a particular penance or fast. There are quite a few evil spirits that move in families and clusters that are associated with gluttony. Did you know that? Yes. Read some of the books of Father Gabriel Amorth, A-M-O-R-T-H. There's a spirit of infirmity where we think someone is ill, but they're really not. It usually comes in through the spirit of gluttony or the spirit of retaliation. There are spirits of nonsense, games, trivia. A spirit of confusion will show up. There's also a spirit of rejection, which will often be the controlling spirit, because whatever we're experiencing is a form of not being loved in some way. If we're experiencing some kind of alienation or rejection and not being filled up with God in daily prayer, not looking at those things within us, well, the bad guy can come right into our house and make up residency through this spirit of rejection. And this is why self-knowledge is really important. The bad guy hates God. That's a hard concept for some of us to understand. Listen carefully. He hates God. He hates God, but he can't strike God directly. He can't strike God. He's been banished, but he can still try to strike a God with you, with me. It's in our empty temples. He strikes at the flesh because he's trying to strike at God. He hates the incarnation and incarnational spirituality. The more he can strike at our flesh, then indirectly he's striking at God. Now, St. Paul tells us the sacred scriptures are our guide. Draw your strength from the Lord and his mighty power. Ephesians 6. Verse 10, we draw our strength from the Lord because there's a tremendous battle in this sinning world. We need this part of the armor to stand firm and draw our strength from the Lord. We need it. We have to keep coming back to Jesus, his fifth word from the cross. Do you remember what it is? I thirst. I thirst. He had to have been physically thirsty, as he had lost a lot of blood, but he was thirsting for love also. It's a double thirst. He has us go through the same kind of thirst so that we can repair the sin of excessive love of self and the flesh. When we thirst, particularly if we're thirsting for love or union with God, for his word or any revelation from him, for his presence, for any intervention of God in our lives, then we're healthy. Then we're healthy. I remember reading about one of the Desert Fathers. Now, I did a television documentary and video on Charles de Foucauld, F-O-U-C-A-L-D, who wrote the Prayer of Abandonment. But I remember in my research reading about one of the Desert Fathers. And someone went out to the desert to ask him, teach me how to pray. Now, the Desert Father took him to a little oasis. They waded into it, and he dunked the person's head down almost like he was baptizing him. But he didn't let him come right back up. He just held his head under that water. And pretty soon, this man came up gasping and upset. I can hardly breathe, he said. And the Desert Father said, quote, when you want God as much as you just wanted that air, then that's how to pray, end quote. I'm going to say it again. When you want God as much as you just wanted that air, then that's how to pray, end quote. When we can hunger and thirst like that for God, then we're very healthy. We're very healthy. Where are you today? Are you gasping for air? Are you gasping for air tonight? I want you to answer that question now. And I'm stopping and I'm pausing because I want you to listen. The antidote to gluttony is to allow God to feed us physically and spiritually. Now remember the scripture from John 21:5. After the resurrection, the apostles went out in their boats, and Jesus appeared on the shore, and he said, "Have you caught anything to eat?" And they weren't doing so well without Jesus in the boat. And he was concerned about it, and they said, "No, what does Jesus do?" He tells them, "Cast your net in the right side. That's where the fish were." He will tell us how to get food if we go to him every day. He knows the different ways we need to be fed. He not only will tell us where the food is, but he'll provide it for us as he provided it for them. And even better than that, he prepared the food so that they could really enjoy it with him and have a meal together. He will bring us into union so man and God together can sit down and feast. That's the beauty of prayer, my friend, because the antidote to gluttony is to allow God to feed us. Now, tonight, I want you to think about fasting from judging others and feasting on Jesus in them. Fast from judging others and feasting on Jesus in them. This gives us all something as listeners, something positive to do. Many people find it hard to fast from judging others. And that's when we get into that spiritual gluttony. Some actually feed on judging others. Oh, especially teenagers. They love the gossip. And guess what? Some prayer groups, I just want to tell you, but I'm just telling you, does this sound familiar? It feeds their superiority. It feeds their pride, and it feeds their own self-image. We need to take time to look at how do we feed ourselves. This is where the sin comes in. How do we feed ourselves instead of letting God feed us? Jesus told us we have to change and become as little children with a little child to guide them. A child can't feed himself. He has to be fed. This is what God is talking about. Let me feed you, Susan, Jane, Joe, Frank, Maureen. Quit crying to feed yourself. This is where we're going to start to uproot the sin of gluttony. We can fast from words that pollute and feast on phrases that purify. Have you ever said something out of habit and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth? Oh, why did I say that? It didn't give life to anybody. It didn't even make me feel good. Why did I feed myself with that horrible thing? These are the roots that are after. Why did I have to do that? Why do I have to talk that way, Lord? What's in me that is making me think these things? It's our thoughts that mold us. It's our hearts that mold us. One superior once wrote, "I can't hear a word you're saying. Your actions are shouting." I read that and I laughed. I think I used that with my kids growing up. "I can't hear a word you're saying. Your actions are shouting." We can fast from discontent and feast on gratitude tonight. And this was part of a sermon I heard the other day at morning mass. We can feast from discontent and feast on fast from discontent and feast on gratitude. There's a priest, a parish priest, who had a silent retreat for 9 days, and he came back, and the retreat was on gratitude. So he talked about the importance of gratitude. Now, I know people whose whole lifestyle is fed on negativity and criticism. "Oh, this could be better. There could have, oh, I know I could have done it better. or to feed on something about someone else. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you see what they're wearing? Did you hear what they did? Negativity and criticism can become a habit and can feed something within us. So the antidote here would be to feast on gratitude. It's very, very healing, my friend. You can be discontent with the weather, or we can be very grateful that we even woke up this morning and God gave us another day. And we can feast from anger and feast on patience tonight. Some people live out a lifestyle of anger unconsciously. They're always angry. It feeds them, it gives them energy, and it gives them pleasure. It's very safe because as long as you're angry, you're not really going to get too close to me, and so you won't hurt me. It's a safeguard to keep people at a distance, isn't it? And we can feast from worry tonight and fear and feast on God's providence. That's what I want you to do. Look at how many times Jesus said, do not fear. Fear is mentioned over 265 times in the sacred scriptures. Do not fear. But we keep on fearing, don't we? And worrying. We keep being anxious. It's totally against scripture. And it's feeding something within us. We're looking for the root. Why did I do that? Why am I going against this word of God? This is all tapping into gluttony, my friends. We can fast from complaining and feast on appreciation. We can fast from being negative and feast on affirming. Affirm others. Affirm yourself. Please accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. And have you ever been in a conversation and someone else will give a compliment, but they'll say, yes, but, dot, dot, dot. It takes you down to hear it, and it takes you down to say it as well. We can fast from bitterness and feast on forgiveness. If we're bitter, we don't feel that we have to forgive. Yep, and that's what I want you to think about tonight. We can fast from self-concern and feast on compassion for others tonight. We can fast from discouragement and any kind of knowledge that depresses us. We can fast from suspicion and feast on truth. And my friend, we can fast from curiosity, needing to know and feast on trust and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Happy are they who have been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Jesus wants us to feast on his grace tonight, on his love, on his presence, and on his food. So let us end with prayer. Heavenly Father, take a moment and quiet yourself in the presence of God the Father. Rest your heart on his heart. Drink deeply of his love for you. Pray for a deeper hunger and thirst for the Lord. Draw your strength in the Lord and his mighty power. Draw your strength tonight because you are not alone. No matter where you are or who you are, the Lord Jesus Christ is calling you to wholeness tonight. Do not think that if someone else is listening, those fiery darts that are hitting you tonight and today can penetrate your shield, because that we know that God is with us always. And so next Monday, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you, and know that you are very special in God's eyes. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose